Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Our first guest today, a veteran of reporting in the state of Michigan, more than 35 years now, senior writer for the Rossman Group, Charlie Kane. Hello, Charlie. How are you?
Jack, good. How are you doing?
Just fine. I want to talk to you a little bit about unfunded mandates and some of the problems they present, especially for school districts.
Well, if you look at it, if you go back to 1978, which is where this story starts, voters approved the Headley Amendment, which essentially said to the state, you can't tell local units of government or school districts to take on new programs unless you're going to pay for them. Mm-hmm. Simple, clear cut. The state has ignored that ever since.
Why?
Simply because they can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they are found guilty by courts, the first time this came up was there was a 17-year suit. It was the longest suit in Michigan Supreme Court history, and it was called the Durant case. And school districts across the state sued the state and said, look, you're forcing us to supply special education, but you're not paying for it. So the Supreme Court said, you're guilty, state. Don't do this anymore. So now we've started another suit. This one, it only took 10 years to resolve. This one is a so-called Adair case, and that's the one that we're talking about now. This was 456 school districts across the state that said, look, state, you're forcing us to compile mountains and mountains of often useless information, a student's home phone number, a student's birthplace in the family, the square footage of a school building, all of which have nothing to do with basic academics, and you're not paying for it. So the Supreme Court, after 10 years, again this summer, said, yep, you're still guilty of it. Don't do this anymore.
Why did the state want or need all of this data?
Some of it, they claim, and some of it is true. Some of it is required by the federal government in order for the school districts to get federal funding. And the school districts have no interest in jeopardizing that funding, and they're more than willing to comply with those reporting aspects that really do satisfy a federal requirement. But those that simply appear to be satisfying the curiosity of a bureaucrat sitting in Lansing in Washington, the schools say, look, we don't want more money to pay for it. We think this is a wasteful gathering of information. Taxpayers, at a time of declining tax revenues, at a time when the state is going through a shaky economy and has been now for a decade, is this really where we want to spend the money? Shouldn't we be devoting these dollars to the classrooms, to where students are the target rather than bureaucratic information gathering?
Shouldn't we put as much money in the classrooms as possible?
You would think so. You would think, particularly when everyone says that the new economy is going to require a different skill set and it's going to require changing education. It's not like when you and I were coming out of high school, we could get a job in a factory, in a UAW factory, and chances were good we could have a cottage and a snowmobile. Well, those days are gone. You know, and if we can't put the dollars into the classroom, aren't we shortchanging the next generation? This is the generation of leaders.
Charlie, I guess I don't understand exactly why the Michigan Senate would shift $25.6 million. That's already been approved for the schools. Instead, it's going to pay for providing data.
Well, and you're not alone. This would be, in polite circles, you'd call this a shell game. What this was, the state decided, okay, since the Supreme Court in July said we had to pay for this information to gather information from the school districts, what they did in the dark of the night 2 weeks ago before the hunting season, the House passed a bill with no debate that put that $25 million into there. Everyone says, where that $25 million figure came from is anybody's guess. The actual cost is probably in the hundreds of millions. It's not uncommon for an individual school district, and there's 550 of them across the state, to spend $250,000 to comply with these government paper chase requests. So not only is it a sham to suggest that $25 million covers the cost, but it continues what school superintendents argue is a wasteful collection of information.
All right, this is a difficult thing for a lot of people to grasp, and I imagine right now if they're driving home, they're gripping the steering wheel a little bit tighter. But I guess I don't understand why some of the smarter people in the Michigan Senate haven't stood up and said, wait a minute here, we've got an issue, we've got a shortfall to begin with, and now we're taking money that was approved, precious dollars, for educating our children, and we're going to put it into a bureaucracy.
You know, I think the sad truth of the matter is this little clause was put into the tail end of like a 60-page bill, and it's a supplemental school aid bill. And quite frankly, the average lawmaker on the floor is looking to the leaders, you know, to get their direction on how to vote. They're not reading this. So I don't think most of them are even at all familiar with this. And with the changeover, largely because of term limits, I think this whole notion of unfunded mandates sometimes isn't at the fore of their thinking. But I mean, it's clear. I mean, the state continues to arrogantly ignore not only a constitutional amendment, but also a recent decision from the state's highest court.
Charlie Kane, our guest, is a veteran of 35 years of political reporting and senior writer for the Rossman Group. Charlie, I guess it proves that the media is not term limited. We can stick around as long as we want, as long as anyone will have us.
Yeah.
When you think back to this, you go back to the Headley Amendment, you remember those days, and when this was designed, what was it supposed to do? Obviously not what it's doing here.
Well, back in 1978, if you recall, we had that was sort of the culmination of a 25-year tax revolt in the state
right.
of Michigan.
Correct.
Property taxes were just sky high.
Right.
We had the Tisch Amendment that same year, which would have done some draconian cuts in property taxes without restoring any of the funding, which would have been pretty bad news. But the whole idea was to let's quit forcing the property taxes on your home to go up, 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 up. And one way they thought they could do this is to stop this game where the state's, you know, big brother is telling local units of government, you got to do this. And bear in mind that this is coming at the same time when we've been cutting revenue sharing to local to local communities, counties, you know, at the same time we're putting unfunded mandates on them as well. This is not just a school issue. This unfunded mandates is a serious, serious, and very expensive issue.
All right. My guess is that a lot of people kind of got caught here and maybe with their pants down on this one. I'm guessing that when they are held accountable and to the light of the public, some people are going to have to answer some questions here. What's the most important question we should be asking as members of the media?
I think the most important question is we're not going to resolve this week. I mean, the legislature's in for a lame duck. They're out of here on Thursday. So this isn't the time to really get into this deeply. What they do need to do is commit to early on next year take a dispassionate review of the information requirements of schools. There are like 130 different informational requests that schools have to provide, sometimes three times a year, about students, staff, faculty, buildings. Let's figure out how much of this data is really important, eliminate that which we decide is not important, and then that which is left, make certain that the state follows the Constitution and reimburses the local units of government for collecting that data.
My guess is that school districts aren't the only ones impacted here. Any idea of how many millions are tied up in these unfunded mandates across the board?
Oh, but I wouldn't know. I imagine it would just be a tremendous figure. I don't know exactly what it is. There really hasn't been, and I read a recent report. There was an actual government-appointed panel that examined that question, and they said part of the problem was there was no benchmarking prior to the Headley Amendment in 78, so they really don't have a good handle on what unfunded mandates. Clearly, it's in the hundreds of million dollars during that time period, but there is no specific dollar figure. That's why there needs to be a thoughtful examination of where we are. Is this necessary? What can we do to stop it? I mean, it's a decline, a time of declining, you know, revenues, not only for individuals, for households and families, but for, you know, governmental units across the state.
Charlie, during the campaign, I asked someone what kind of government they wanted, and they gave me the best answer I've heard from any one politician or not. They said, leaner, cleaner, greener, more transparent.
That sounds great in theory.
Great in theory, very, very difficult to achieve.
Exactly.
You know. Charlie, thanks so much for joining us.
Jack,
I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
It.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And there's going to be a news conference on this tomorrow. Deborah Jones, superintendent at Waverly, and Bill DeFrance, superintendent at Eaton Rapids. And 456 school districts united here against this kind of mandate.